the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm about 3 days behind on emails. If you sent me an email and you haven't heard back from me, just hang in there with me. It's been quite a weekend here in the Coach Dave household. Yes, we did have a little baby. I got a story to tell you on that one. And then I woke up this morning and looked down 100 and however many emails I had, and I was kind of overwhelmed because some of them are important. Some of them, Bobby Lee and Pam and some others. Phone calls I got to make, connections, Gary. Bear with me, okay? I'll try to get back in the saddle again. Jared, if you can, throw up there that little picture, little Annie. That's a story in its own. Our daughter, Abby, this is kind of cool, guys. You know, we're asking all of you on Friday to pray for the birth of our little grandbaby. Pray for Abby because they're going to have to induce her on Saturday. She was a little bit late. And Abby learned a really, really valuable lesson. I think it's a valuable lesson. She got a hold of a lot of her friends, prayer friends, and said, targeted prayer. Pray that my, what the heck's that thing called? That ring softens and that the delivery comes natural. So she was supposed to be induced at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. And she got up about 1 o'clock. It's amazing. Maybe noon. Between noon and one, she started to have some contractions on Saturday morning. Awesome. So she started to have some contractions. And, you know, from the time the contractions start to whatever, go ahead and throw that picture up there, Jared, of little Annie who made it in here. Abby, she called me, said, Dad, can you come up here? Michelle said, go up there and sit with David. Our grandson was asleep, so I had to run up top of the hill so they could get Abby to the hospital. They just thought it was time. She'd only been in labor maybe half hour. And they said, well, let's go. So as I was going up the hill, they were coming down the hill, and I went in there and sat with Dave while he slept, and Abby went and got up to the hospital. And so we're sitting there, and we're texting, saying, how's it coming? How's it coming? And Morgan, our grandson, texts and says, it's here. Here comes the proud older sister and said, it's here. And we said, what? Yeah, it's here already. It's here. And so here's a long story. What happened? Reese, the big sister, Abby's water broke on the way to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, then she started going into some serious labor and screaming and hollering. So I'm going to die. Can imagine what that's like. Morgan's, it was snowy here. We had 6 inches of snow. Morgan's flying, trying to get to the hospital. And he finally gets to the hospital. He was smart enough to call ahead and say, I'm coming. My wife's water just broke, yada, yada, yada. They meet him at the door in a wheelchair and all that kind of stuff. Get her out, put her in the wheelchair, take her in. Morgan runs and parks the car. And by the time Morgan gets out of the car into the room where Abby is, the baby's already been born. She arrived in the hospital at 3:10 and birthed at 3:17. Now that's a labor, isn't it? That is a labor. And so healthy, beautiful little baby. Throw that back up. Yeah, go ahead, Reese. Say what?
Her name is Aniston Pearl Engelman.
Aniston Pearl Engelman.
Annie.
Pearl was my mother's name. So we have two granddaughters now that have Pearl in it. I made my kids mad all weekend because nobody could figure out what to call her. And I said, we're going to call her Clem Cadiddlehopper. Reese didn't like that. So now we'll call her Annie Cadiddlehopper. Right, Annie? Right, Reese?
Nope.
Clem?
Call her Annie.
No, call her Annie. Annie Pearl. So thanks for all the prayers out there. And by the way, targeted prayer does work. You look at that picture up on that screen. Who's prettier, that grandma or that little Annie?
That little Annie. Right now.
That's one proud grandma there. So bless all of you. Thank you all for the prayers. Joy in the Dobenmeyer house for sure. In Engelman house.
God,
yeah, amen, buddy. It's And you know, it's funny, because I lost one of my high school buddies, dropped over dead on Thursday. 65 years old, bang, boom, dead. And you know, tomorrow's promised to no one. We just don't know, do we? We just don't know. And so we're just thankful for any life that comes in, and for every life that hangs around, all to make us more, a little bit more urgent, focused on our prayer and everything that's going on. Let me get my junk up here real quick. Well, that sounded awful. Let me get my stuff up here, because I want. Thanks, Reese. Some specific things I want to talk about real quick before we get into it. I spoke to Todd. I was busy all weekend. It sounds crazy. Grandkids are, you with me? It keeps you busy. What was it? Oh, I'm sorry. Todd, I got a text message from Todd on Saturday morning that finally his lungs were beginning to clear. Finally, now they're going to transfer him to another hospital. But to be honest, it was the first positive news that I'd gotten from Todd in quite a while, and that his lungs were clearing up. That's the first thing that needs to happen. They're going to transfer him today to a different hospital, more fitted for his needs. So continue to keep Todd in prayer. Chad, is Chad in here today? Chad had himself a big big event down there. I don't know. Chad's not. He's not. I don't see him anymore. We'll talk more about that tomorrow when Chad gets back in here. I'm looking down through my list. Hey, listen, folks. We're going to do a bread ministry here in Ohio. I used to do those all the time. We're going to do one on Thursday. I ordered about 480 pair of gloves. Got a whole bunch of free bread coming in, and we're going to do a bread giveaway to our community this Thursday. Anybody in the Newark area that would like to come and be part of it, message me. We're going to do it Thursday at 11 o'clock. We get a lot of free bread, gloves, great opportunity to do some mercy ministry. So I'm excited. Excuse me. We're excited about doing that. We are definitely going to Florida. February 10th through the 15th. If you want to go with us, contact us. Mark Trump and Jim Kraft have put together a great game plan, and we're going to go down there. And you say, Coach, I've never done anything like that. I don't even know what I could do. I said, Can you pull brush? Can you pick up some wood? We need you. So if you're interested in going, February 10th through 15th, we're going to fly in, drive in or fly in on the 10th, out on the 15th. Don't forget Oskaloosa. I'm trying to hurry. Oskaloosa, Denny's Place, January 27th. Got a good crowd coming up there, right, Denny? January 27th.
A large crowd's coming.
They're coming from everywhere. It's going to be great. So
ten different states right now.
10 different states right now are coming up there. Anything else? Florida, Oskaloosa, all kinds of stuff. Bobby Lee's got one going for us. I heard from Tim Tubra. We're going to go to Oregon in June. We're making it happen here, folks. Don't forget Father's Day weekend. That's going to be our national event here in Columbus, Ohio. I think it's June 14th or 15th. Don't have the calendar in front of me right now. Cool. I'll let the air out of me a minute. Anybody have anything for the good of the group here before we get rolling here today? I feel like I'm forgetting something. If I'm forgetting something, please. Jen Peterson, we're praying, continuing to pray for Jen Peterson and Brian Cunningham. I know I'm forgetting some others. Anybody want to jump in here? We got 32 folks in here. Got room for a couple more. Come on in here and join us.
I think Mike's probably got something going on today, Coach.
What do you got going on, Pastor Mike? Oh, his show's tonight, isn't it? This is Monday. Boy, I'm all messed up.
Yeah. I think he's got a special guest.
He's. Wait, who's your guest tonight,
Mike? Yep. Thanks, JR. Yeah, Coach. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Mark Goodwin will join me. We're going to be talking about the news, what's going on, headlines, and try to bring some clarity into this world of confusion.
Good luck.
No kidding.
It is confusion, isn't it, Doc? I mean, it is unbelievable.
Yep.
And who's the author of confusion? We ought to be able to put these things together. And if we're not careful, I'm just as bad as anybody else. We end up chasing stuff that is really isn't very, very, very meaningful at all. Keep our eyes focused on the ball. Important to do.
How do we find that, Mike? How do we find you tonight?
drmikelive.com. You can join. The page should look familiar to you because Jared set it up to look just like coaches. So.
All right.
There you have it. You just join the huddle, and if you want to get on the mailing list for that, then PastorMike@cclohio.org, and we'll add you to the email distribution that Jared sends out, and you can join the conversation.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Awesome. I just got a text from Jim Kraft, said that spoke with Thomas Gamble last week, and everything's set to stay at the church. All the jobs they have on the board require heavy equipment, so we should be in good shape. Awesome. Also, no problem with the meals. If we want to go out in the evening, we can just tell, let the caterer know. So there we're going, man. We're looking for, we want 20 people. Listen to me. We want 20 people with us suffering in Florida on February 10th through the 15th. 20 of you. We'll help with your expenses to get down there. You make yourself available. And here's what you want to do. If you're going to go, you got to say, Coach, I want to go, so we get you on the list. Okay. But all systems are go. Great team, Jim Kraft and Mark Trump working together on that. We do have some heavy equipment we're taking down, and some others equipment's been volunteered for. So a church camp for adults, as Chad would say. Cool. Anybody else?
Coach.
Yes.
Can I bring one more thing up?
Please do.
Okay. some of you know, I know you know, Coach, but our church has an FM radio station that's an outreach ministry. And but it's a little different station. We don't play any music. It's all Bible teaching. But here's the thing we're interested in. This is why I asked to bring this up. Coach, your show, we air your show on the weekends. We air Rest of Dizdar on the weekends, both Saturday and Sunday. It's WTTP FM, by the way. But we're also adding Mark Harrington's program.
Oh, great.
On the weekends. And we're going to add JR's Last Call Radio. Going to add that to the lineup on the weekends. So we're trying to push the envelope and provide content that folks aren't going to get anyplace else. So if you know someone that is producing content in this same vein, please let me know, because we would be interested in putting them on the air.
God no bless cost. You, no Pastor cost. Mike. Hey, Pastor Mike, why do you why do you think this really bothers me, brother? It really does. Why? Or do our pastors not know, or do they not see, Mike? What do you think it is?
Honestly, Coach, I think it's because let me phrase this in the right way. They're afraid. I think they're cowards. I think they don't want to upset the apple cart. They want to be received in their communities. They want to be thought well of. And as you and I and everybody in this queue knows, the only person we should be interested in caring about what they think of us is the Lord. So we need to be faithful to what he and
especially those who are supposed to be the gatekeepers, right? And the watchmen, man, that's a heavy responsibility, buddy.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
You know, Coach, I agree with what was said, but I also agree there's some that know. I think, you know, if you study the clergy FEMA response team, I think there's some that are clearly on the side of the enemy knowingly. And then, like, was it Pastor Mike just said, I think there's lots that are just flat cowards. So I think there's a combination.
I was in I don't want this to sound wrong at all. I don't know how to say it. Other than I'm just going to say it. I went yesterday twice to hear David Arthur speak at a church. God bless that pastor. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want it to associate with something else I'm going to say. God bless him. He had the courage to do it. David spoke three times yesterday. He spoke in the 9 o'clock, and then the 10:45 service. Then he spoke again last evening, and he's going to go again tonight. He's going to go Wednesday night speak to you. So I take my hat off, and I salute that pastor. God bless him for having the courage to bring David Arthur in. I'm not saying any bad thing about him or his folks, anything at all. Please don't take that wrong. But when I walked in there, when I was there yesterday for two services, I understood again how we do church just doesn't work. And I'm going to explain to you here in a second what I mean by that. I see a note that David has up in there. JR showed up. Jim Kraft, his wife, his son and his son's girlfriend, his daughter and her husband, Terry Zeller and his wife showed up. Roger Weaver showed up. Coach Dave showed up. I know I'm forgetting somebody else. Who else? They all showed up yesterday in support of David Arthur. And I was just blessed by it. And I want you to know that David Arthur, I keep trying to coach David, and I pray to God he takes it the right way, that I'm not being bossy. David Arthur, he made the greatest presentation I've heard him make yesterday at second service. It was powerful, really, really powerful. And, it's like he's in kindergarten now. You know, he's been doing this for a while, but he's just really getting going. And he's starting to catch his stride. And I believe the Lord's going to open up more doors for David, because the message that David has absolutely needs to be heard. It needs to be heard. I'm just telling you, folks. And David, you don't know this, because I didn't get a chance to talk to you after. Go ahead, David. Was that you who came in?
Whoever that was. It wasn't me. I was just going to tell you that, Coach, you know, I don't take it any other way than how it's being delivered. I love encouragement, edification, as well as reproof and correction or coaching.
David, you know what I saw yesterday that was so amazing? I sat for your second one. I sat in the back and sort of in the back, in the mid-back. And David, the most amazing thing was happening as I was looking across the crowd, which is an older crowd, an older, formerly Methodist church. And David, you would not have believed the amens I was hearing under people's breaths as you were speaking the truth. Almost like they were saying, finally, finally, not casting aspersions at their pastor, because he's brought you. But all those lies that people have been told about homosexuality and how the church has so watered down the message and all that stuff. Man, oh man, I felt really, really powerful when I left there yesterday. And David, I'm gonna try to pick up on your message you're welcome to come in here, but I think this is so critical. As David, when he closed out his talk, stay with me, folks. I'm going somewhere. When David closed out at the end of his first presentation yesterday morning, he spoke about intimacy, and that ultimately we've taught homosexuals that you're not born that way, yada yada yada. And David's come to the realization that yeah, you are born that way. That men are born with a natural desire to be intimate with others. Not sexually. Again, the culture has taken something and they have perverted. It's a desire in us. We're to be intimate with the Lord. We're supposed to be intimate with one another. And I as I was listening to David speak yesterday, I thought about this. You ready there, right wing watch, Kyle? Listen to me. There ain't no homo in a football locker room. There ain't no homo. Now, they do everything they can to try to find some homos. I mean, they search high and low, far and wide, everywhere they can to say, hey, so-and-so played and he was a homosexual. They try to do that. I mean, the statistics are right. 12% of them ought to be homos, right? 12 of those guys. But you know why they don't? Because, listen, football, in a football locker room, they understand intimacy. They understand it. After the football game, they hug each other. They cry on each other's shoulder. There ain't no sex in it. Ain't nothing to do with sex, man. The idea that you're on a team and I'm on a team and we're in this together. Let's go, brother. And I got your back and let's fight to the end. And I'm going to lay down my life to defend you. That's intimacy. That's intimacy. David, I saw it so clearly yesterday. That is intimacy. And that's what men. Roger, are you in here? I could sense Roger Weaver picking that up so clearly yesterday as David was saying it. And Roger leaned over to me and said, yes, that's why I enjoy the queue. That's why I enjoy the, come on in here, Roger.
Well, I was just going to share the support of what you're saying. The intimacy has been turned upside down. And now intimacy is talked about sexually, when intimacy is just men wanting to be with other men in a non-sexual manner. Bonding. I think that's why in a football locker room, it is a beautiful environment. Men joining together, a common goal to defeat the other team, rallying together. Dave, you've seen it throughout your entire life.
I've lived it. Jared, it's the same thing in the military, or used to be in the military. The idea that common bond, that when you go through boot camp, man, you had each other's back, and you all did the same thing, and you covered for each other, and you will look the rest of your life for that kind of intimacy everywhere you go. And ain't none of it sexual. Are you there, Jared? You know what I'm talking about, bud? You can't find it anywhere. You can't find that man. Look, I was watching the New Orleans Buckeyes last night. They're the Buckeyes. It was all the Ohio State Buckeyes that made every big play for him yesterday. The New Orleans Buckeyes. And I was watching, and New Orleans would make a play, and you look over the sidelines, and they're high-fiving each other, and they're chest-bumping each other, and you look up in the stands, and grown men are hugging each other and jumping up and down, and then not one sexual thought in any of them. Not one sexual thought. And men are being intimate with each other, sharing a common direction, a common bond, pushing together, having each other's back. That's intimacy, and it's been polluted and perverted. Yeah, Jared.
Up and it was like, you know, like 10 degrees out, right? And some of the guys, they're just sitting there, and you're not allowed to have fires, you're not allowed to do anything. And some of the guys are like, you know, yo, Steve, come here, sleep in my sleeping bag with me. It's freaking cold. And he's like, that's a good idea. All right, let's do that. And it's totally, it's like, what's the point? Well, I need to sleep good so that I can fight well tomorrow. So, you know what? We're just going to sleep in the same sleeping bag.
I'm not worried about you putting your hands down my pants.
Right.
We're brothers in this together.
Yeah, it's like we got to be warm. You know, we got a mission, and we got to do it well, and we're going to do whatever it takes to do that. And nobody cares. You're just like, look, whatever. We got to do this. Let's do it. You know?
And so you look at the football game yesterday, right? Those guys are all in this thing together. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to destroy the intimacy in football. I don't know. Can you guys see it? They made the biggest news about the first female referee. And can I be sexist here for a minute? I thought I wish somebody come and drag her off the field. She's got no business being on that football field. That is a man's domain. She's got no business being on that field. Hey, I'm sorry. If some of my softer friends, they want to go to the fashion show and walk up and down the aisle with the girls, go ahead and do it. She got no business being there. That's the way I see it. I'm old school. And they're trying to do the same thing through athletics now to destroy that male-on-male intimacy. I'm going to tell you this. I love my wife, but you put my wife in the room with a bunch of men, it changes the dynamic. It just changes the dynamic.
Amen.
And that's what they're trying to do, this idea of intimacy. Oh, man.
Hey, Coach.
Jared, go to Webster's. Well, was that George? Go to Webster's and look up intimacy. Go ahead. Is that George? Whoever it was.
Yeah, that's such a great point that David Arthur made and that you're making, because men, and we've talked about this with the guys here, Randy and Paul and some of the guys, us guys, we're designed for battle. We're designed to always be fighting a righteous battle. And therefore, that intimacy between men and brothers is different than intimacy with our wife. It's just a different intimacy. Yeah. And I think that needs to be taught worldwide in the church today. I think that would set so many men free and help them understand the different types of intimacy and what they should seek for.
My little grandkids can't wait to sit close to me. They squeeze in down beside the chair beside me, get up as close as they can to me, because there's this thing that's coming off of me that they want more of.
Amen.
It's masculinity. Amen. Little boy David wants it. The little girls want it. They don't want it in any perverted form. They're smuggling it. And we're looking our whole lives to try to find it. See? And so here's what's happened. David, Arthur, I see it so clearly. So you get a little kid, like my little grandson David, and he wants this intimacy. And he doesn't have a grandpa that spends time with him. And he doesn't have a daddy that spends time with him, because he's got all this time. He's working and earning a living and doing whatever. And all this little boy wants is some intimacy with a man. And grandpa's not here and daddy's not here. And so the next thing you know, they send him off to preschool, they send him off wherever. And the next thing you know, some man comes up and gets intimate with a little boy, tries to get in close to him. And the next thing you know, he's grabbing his dingler. And all of a sudden, the little boy thinks intimacy has to do with the dingler. I see it so clearly, man.
Coach,
I see it.
That's my life.
pure evil.
You just told my life story.
That's it, isn't it, David? Huh?
You
confuse in your mind then. What is this, right? I want this intimacy. I want this manliness. And the guy comes along and he gives you a little bit of tension. And next thing you know, he puts his hands down your pants. You don't know what it does. It feels good. And well, so I must be homosexual. And what are they going to do, David? They're going to put you in school and tell you that's normal. You were born that way. And David, you were born that way. You were born then with a desire to be intimate with a man. Ain't got nothing to do with
it. You know what? After 30 years, after it's tainted for over 30 years, the reprogramming is phenomenal. And it's a process, you know. And I was told a story yesterday about two twin boys. It was a girl and a boy. They were twins. A girl and a boy had two mommies. And the little boy went up to his Christian teacher, loved the Christian teacher's husband, just attached himself to him because he had that desire for that male intimacy. But the boy was all boy. But then one day he walked up to his Christian teacher and he said to her, "You wear jeans." And she said, "Yes, I wear jeans." And he says, and he referred to her husband, "He wears jeans." She said, "Yes." See, he was trying to make the differentiation because he had two mommies. One was a little butch.
Oh, boy.
And they both wore jeans. You know, and so he was trying to make the differentiation. Well, how come you're obviously different? He knew it. He was 5 years old. He knew that there was a difference in a man-female couple than in his two mommies. And
amen. It ain't natural, is it, David?
And it's sad because then he went off to school, and who knows what he was taught and what he learned and what happened to him after that.
So I was in that church yesterday. I said I was going to talk about it. This is churches all across America. Trust me. There was no intimacy in the room. There were men in the room who knew each other. How you doing, George? How'd work go this week? How's your week been, George? But there was no real intimacy at all in that room. And you can have as many pancake breakfasts on Saturday morning as you want to. You will not work up that intimacy. And I'm telling you right now, I am more intimate with the guys in the queue than in anybody else in my life, other than my wife, of course, my family. Would you guys agree with that? Anybody else say amen to that? There's more
amen.
Here.
Amen.
Coach, one more thing real quick. Remember at the Last Supper, we see a beautiful picture of intimacy between men. Look how the disciple reclined on Jesus's chest. If that's not a picture of male intimacy, I don't know what is.
Hey, boys, listen. Just take the NFL and guys hugging and chest bumping each other. That's intimacy, man. That's what it's supposed to be. But see, we have perverted it to sexuality. In fact, David, you said something yesterday. I went to Webster's. Jared, go ahead and go to Webster's real quick. I think maybe you already did and I missed it. Folks, I want to show you something.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, we were there yesterday. My son, Christopher, when we left.
Oh, yeah. Todd was there. I'm sorry, Todd. Yeah.
No. Yeah. We got in the truck to leave, and he said, "You know, Dad, that's why I became a firefighter." He never thought of it in those terms, you know.
There it is.
We don't use that word intimate among men like that because of the way the word has been changed. But anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot you.
Oh, no biggie.
And you're
no, yeah, there's no fudge packers in that firehouse.
There ain't no fudge packers in the firehouse. They're trying to put women in there, aren't they? They're trying to do everything they can to break up that intimacy of men.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Trying to do everything they can. Yeah. Jared, type in intimate. Intimacy, intimate. What's it say? Inmost, inward, internal, near, close. Close in friendship or acquaintance, familiar, intimate friend, a familiar friend or associate, one to whom the thoughts of another are entrusted with reserve. to share together, too intimate to register to love, too hint to suggest purely indirectly or not very plainly to go. Hey, no mention of sex. Now, Jared, go to Merriam-Webster today and see what they have. See what they say about intimacy. Once again, change the words, change the world. Men want to be intimate with other men. That's why they like football. That's like why they like to go hunting. That's why, but that's like, as my mom said, they like to get around with each other and scratch. You're looking to see, A, marked by friendship, developing long associates, suggesting informal warmth, engaged in, involving, or marked by sex or sexual relationships. There it is. The father of three children by three women doesn't have a girlfriend, says he hasn't been intimate with anyone in 2 months. Well, there's this problem. He hasn't been intimate with people. Doesn't have anything to do with sex.
You know what, Coach? Everybody better pay attention because it's the very intimacy that's under attack. And you know how you know David and Jonathan were intimate. They were intimate. But if Jared, if you Google right now just David and Jonathan intimate, you'll get a list of homosexual Christian websites that explain how David and Jonathan was the greatest love story ever because they were there lovers.
Gay Christian 101. There it is, David. Pull that up there, Jared. The second one. The second one right there. Gay Christian woman, Dave and John, why does the Bible focus on the intimate, loving, same-sex part? Is that wicked? Is that wicked?
Do you know what's sad about that, Coach, is when you look at the story of David and Jonathan, it says that they were intimate, but it did never say that they had relations. But when you look at David, David had relations with his wife. A difference between the intimate and the relation where the two flesh twine and become. David had relations with his wife. He didn't have relations with Jonathan. He had an intimate fellowship with Jonathan.
That's right. And by the way, Dale named his sons David and Jonathan. How about that? So folks, listen.
For that very reason.
Here's the root of it. I'm just telling you the root of it. Intimacy, a daughter and a mother are intimate in a way. My wife is so intimate with her daughters. My goodness. So intimate with them. And if that relationship is broken and a girl doesn't have much, I'm school psychology here. It makes sense to me. A girl doesn't have the right type of intimacy in the home. She's a girl and she goes out and plays softball. She's hanging around a bunch of other girls who don't have the right understanding of intimacy. And the school's pushing sex, 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 homo, 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 gay, 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 gay. And all of a sudden, then these girls misinterpret intimacy for sex. And I've often asked this question, Kyle, at Right Wing Watch. If lesbians are attracted to women, why are they attracted to women who look like men? If lesbians are attracted to feminine women, I ought to be fighting some lesbian for my wife. My wife is very petite and feminine. Woo, she's feminine. No, they want some butch. They want some bull dyke. They want some girl riding on a Harley. That doesn't just show you how confused it is. Doesn't that show us what's going on?
No matter how far you get away from God, that they still cannot break that natural order of a one pink, one blue, a masculine, a feminine, a passive and aggressive, a man, a female. They can't break that order. They play the role.
Can I tell you something? Go ahead, Dale.
I always ask that question too, Coach. Why is it the girl who dresses up like a butch because she hates guys to like girls, but yet she dresses like a guy, but she hates guys? That doesn't make sense.
No, that's part of the confusion, right? It's part of the confusion that's going on, right? So listen, here's what the enemy, I believe, is doing his best to try to destroy, and that's the intimate relationship that we feel in here together, that we will go to war together, not only for each other, but for a common Savior. We will go to war together, greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. Not have sex with his friends, right? No. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life with his wife. No, doesn't say he would lay down for his wife, because that's understood that you would. Greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. His friends. There's an intimacy with a husband and a wife that you can't match anywhere else. And of course, I would die for my wife. Will I die for George? Will I die for Roger? Will I? Will you? That's the intimacy, see? That's the intimacy. That's what, when the Hebrew boys went out to check out the spies, Joshua and Caleb, they're the only ones that came back. What'd they say? We're more than able, man. We can do this. Everybody else was just going to church, and they didn't know each other well enough. And Jonathan and Caleb, man, they knew each other. They said, come on, man, we can do this. Me and you together, we can do this. We can do this right now. And you walk into the average church, they don't even know each other.
They don't even know each other.
Yeah.
Coach, you know, Right Wing Watches theme song and the world's theme song. Remember that one? Let's get physical, physical. Remember that?
You know, Right Wing Watches. Have your new John.
We're going to teach it until people start getting it, that's wrong. That, you know what? True intimacy doesn't just mean getting physical.
No. But again, doesn't it show how we've lost the words again? They always change the words on us. Always do. Oh, I've ran right on. I haven't meant to go on this long, but somebody come on in here. Rescue. You're on to something, David. You're on to something. By the way, those of you who are close to Columbus, David speaking tonight. At what time, David? Same place? Same church?
I think it's 6 o'clock. And Wednesday,
you better figure it out. You think it is?
I think it's 6 o'clock. There's so many different times this week. I think it's 6 o'clock. Tonight is 6 o'clock. And it was the men and boys group. And then it's kind of becoming everybody's group because nobody really wanted to drive last night, you know, with the weather. So everybody wanted to come tonight. And gotcha. So we'll see.
Okay. Everybody sit down a minute. I'm going to bring in some tinfoil, although it didn't tinfoil. Yes, Jared, bring that up. Hey, look at this. Jared, you and I'm telling you, there's something going on here. There it is again, that synergy. Because I was going to tell you to bring up the website on Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You guys ready? Ruth Bader Ginsburg published a 230-page book called Sex Bias in the U.S. Code, published in 1977. Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote it, 1977. All right? Here's some highlights. She called for sex integration of prisons and reformatories so the conditions of imprisonment, security, and housing could be equal. She explained if the grand design of such institution is to prepare inmates for return to the community as persons equipped to benefit from and contribute to civil society, then perpetuation of single-sex institutions should be rejected. Buzzy Ginsburg. Next one. She called for the sex integration of the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts because they perpetuate sex stereotypes, sexual roles, page 145. She insisted on sex integrating college fraternity and sorority chapters, replacing them with college social societies. This girl's wicked. She's wicked. I hope she comes to Jesus, but she can't die soon enough for me. Cast constitutional doubt on legality of Mother's Day and Father's Day as separate holidays. Constitutional doubt. Not just an opinion. She wants to cast constitutional doubt. She called for reducing the age of consent for sexual acts to people who are less than 12 years old. I'm just pausing. I'm letting this sink in. It's in her book. And she gets on the highest court in the land. Asserted that laws against bigamists, persons cohabitating with more than one woman, and women cohabitating with a bigamist are unconstitutional. That's our girl. She objected to laws against prostitution because prostitution as a consensual sexual act between the adults is arguably within the zone of privacy protected by the recent constitutional decision. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they did, Ruthie. She wrote that the Mann Act, which punishes those who engage in interstate sex traffic of women and girls, the Mann Act, she wrote that the Mann Act is offensive. Such acts should be considered within the zone of privacy. See, she gets it right on privacy, but she doesn't apply privacy to the right things. She demanded that we firmly reject draft or combat exemption for women, stating women must be subject to the draft if men are. See, I agree with that, but I don't think women should be drafted. See, she can't use any common sense here. She don't get it. But she added, the need for affirmative action and for transition measures is particularly strong in the uniformed service. Got to get those women in the military. Can't have that intimacy going on with men. Got to get those homos in there. Yeah. Got to get Uncle Tommy sleeping with Uncle Billy there in the military. Infiltration. She demanded that we firmly reject combat. Oh, I said that. I'm sorry. Next one. An indefatigable censor, Ginsburg listed hundreds of sexist words that must be eliminated from all of our statutes and laws. Are you ready? These are the words Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg, man, I almost said something I regret. Eliminate these words. The offensive words were man, woman, man-made, mankind, husband, wife, mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, serviceman, longshoreman, postmaster, watchman, seamanship, and to man a vessel. Hey, she got her way, didn't she? She got her way!
Hey, Coach.
Pray for her, brother. We're just passing through. Yeah.
Wasn't she appointed by President Clinton?
Yes.
President Ahab.
Ahab, she was, amen on that one. She was the head of the, what, New York American Civil Liberties Union. She wanted he, she, him, her, his, and hers to be dropped down the memory hole. They must be replaced by he, she, her, him, and hers, his. And federal statutes must use the bad grammar of plural constructions to avoid third person singular pronouns. They, them.
Dave, remember, yeah. This is, she's confirmed 25 years ago.
92 to 8.
Yeah, by a vote that was like 96-2.
Yeah.
So the Republicans joined in supporting her.
Amen. She condemned the Supreme Court's ruling in Harris versus McRae and claimed that taxpayer-funded abortions should be a constitutional right. Many are wishing her well. I'm wishing her hell. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was going to say, really, what it is, it's the spirit of Jezebel that produces the Ahab-like spirit in men that just cower to this. And I'll give you an example. I think George, you had left on Saturday, but at the clinic on Saturday, there was a car that pulls in, goes all the way to the back, and all these death escorts, who are all women, go out to this car, and they're surrounded this one gentleman. It's the doctor. He's all hunched over, and he's and these women are surrounding him, protecting him from mean old us.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow. I said, that's volumes right there. That speaks volumes.
Amen.
You have those women protecting you from us. You know.
Not only that, Paul, they are doing everything they can to destroy any semblance of any organization that would promote masculinity. Can't we see what's going on? Can't we see what's going on? Hey, Jared, go to Russ Dizdar, Demon Names. I saw this last night. I got to get Russ back on.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
While Jared's going there, let's return to the conversation a little earlier. We're talking about churches and are the pastors there just leading people astray unknowingly or knowingly. Well, the various projects and things that I've been led to do over the past almost four decades now, 39 years, I guess, have put me in contact with literally hundreds of pastors across the country. And you know that I have introduced some biblical things that are different from what you were taught. I'm not saying they're new, because they're right there in the Word, but I have pointed out biblical truths that are different from what is taught in most churches. And the most common response I received from most of those hundreds of pastors was, yes, I know, but I don't have to say another word.
Amen. Okay, so speaking of buts, I want you to listen. This is David Heavener and Russ Dizdar. This is 12 minutes long. I'm going to show you 5 minutes of it. Because, again, we don't understand this. And listen to this 5 minutes. This caught my eye. I couldn't believe it. Demon names and personalities revealed. Russ Dizdar. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Do demons have names? Do they have personalities? If a demon was on a person for years and years and they died, the demon knows how to take the personality imprint. This might be the bridge of, hey, sure, the church thinks, oh, this is cool. It's like a Halloween party.
They can come in and sound like a grandma.
What is readers to the dead?
This old world's got nothing for me. I am a renegade.
Hey, everybody. David here, back for David Heavener TV. I'm with Russ Dizdar. And Russ, question. Do demons have names? Do they have personalities?
I'll just say this, and I don't mean this in any funnier, sly way.
Right.
Dogs. My daughter has 5 dogs, and they all have their own personality. One's an American Bully Mastiff. It's huge.
Okay.
One is a miniature Jack Russell Chihuahua mix.
Okay.
They're both completely different in personality, size, power, but they're both dogs.
Okay, but you're comparing demons to dogs?
In this sense, if you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where it begins to talk about the armor of God, because your warfare is not against... Now, in English, we read, it's not against principalities, power, so forth. The Spirit of God mentions 4 things in the Greek. Kosmokrator, archon, exousia, porneus pneumonikai. When Jesus said fasting and prayer, because this type, this kind goes only out by what? The word type, species. The fallen ones, the fallen ones are all the same nature. They have the same agenda, but they're all different in size, in power, in ranking, in abilities. Cosmocrators are, and those who would be over nations, you know, archon rulers, the prince of, in the Old Testament, the prince of Persia, the word in Hebrew is ruler. So you have authorities, you have exousia, you have archon, you have porneus pneumonikai, meaning the dirty, unclean spirits that get into people. And then in 1 Timothy 4, it says the Spirit of God, of course, meaning Spirit of God, expressly says in latter days, planos. 5 different types of demonic species among the fallen, and they all have different function. And by the way, as far as deliverance, they all have actual names.
The demons have actual names.
Not that you have to know them. I mean, like Legion, they really do have names. Michael, the angels do. Gabriel, so were they.
Right. Yeah. So why wouldn't demons?
They do.
Right. I mean, the father of the devil is Lucifer, right? He has a name.
Yeah.
But the Bible doesn't talk about these names.
Not so. I mean, God does the anointed cherub that covered. You know, we read in Ezekiel 28, he was once the anointed cherub that covered. He walked among the firestones of God, and then until wickedness was found. That Hebrew word means a violent, upsurged insurrection. He knew what he was doing.
Okay,
this wasn't a simple mistake.
Okay,
he knew exactly what he's doing. So he did this, and his sanctuaries were desecrated. He was turned inside out, per se.
Okay, all right.
No truth in him.
Wow. So when a demon goes in to do a number on a person, mm-hmm. to invade a person, whether they're oppressed or possessed. And now, forgive me if I take liberty here, but someone is addicted to sex.
Mm-hmm.
Are there demons that's the demons of sex?
Well, there can be. And here's what I would say. Look at Galatians chapter 5.
Okay.
And it says the acts of the flesh, sin nature.
All right.
And it lists the sexual morality and so forth.
Okay.
So sex sins, lust, anger, you know, even drunkenness, those can be just acts of the sin nature, and you need to repent of that.
Okay.
You can't deliver, you don't have somebody coming in, I command, you know. But if you stay in those areas long enough, that's like putting yourself out in the flesh, whether it's anger or lust or whatever, that gives Satan a right, topos, right to take a foothold, a legal right to hold, make that a stronghold.
Okay.
So the only way to get rid of that is then ultimately repentance, so the demonic stuff has no right over a person. And now, there, I believe through all the deliverances that we've engaged people, we're talking hundreds by now, and I don't care about count, but a lot. And when you do a lot over the years and so forth, you see and experience, and you read it all. I try to read everybody, you know, learn from everybody too. The demons, there are demons that function in lust that'll come just for that. There are demons that will be wanting to push people into suicide.
Okay.
So I do think there are demons that have particular specialities.
Functions. Okay, gotcha. Now.
Okay, cut the ball, Jared.
In New York.
Isn't that fascinating? I'm not going to take the time to watch all of it. We'll make this available in the show notes, wherever it is we stick. But see, the infiltration. When are we going to come to the realization that everything that's happened in our culture and our society has been pushed by the dark side? Ruth Bader Ginsburg could not have come up with that on her own. It couldn't have. The things that we see going on, the rejection of God, is so beyond human nature. Well, not human nature is not the right thing. It's so beyond anything. The rejection of everything righteous has to be demonically powered, in my not so humble opinion. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You have a clear picture that they just gave you. If you got a football team, you got a front line, you got a defensive line, you line up your players, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Skill against skill, function against function. We have gifts, folks, that are given to us through prayer and God and the Holy Spirit. The gifts that are given to us, it says in Ephesians, are ours. Let a teacher be a teacher. Let an exhorter be an exhorter.
Amen.
We recognize our gifts and pair up against these demons. David Arthur is well equipped to handle the lust demons. Now, this is the focus of what I've been trying to do with Men in the Huddle, Coach, is identify gifts and take off after those areas of Satan's strongholds. It's very clear.
Mm-hmm. It is. I'm with you, Mark. It is. And see, again, I go back to the church that we were in yesterday, and I'm not being critical of the church. Do you think the men in that church have any, do you think the pastor in that church has any idea of the giftings around him? Do you think he has any idea? And I'm discovering here, just through the guys that I've met through the giftings that are in here are unbelievable. And nobody, first of all, identifies your gift, and nobody plugs you in with your gift. We're a body. We are a body, each of us functioning separately. No intimacy, no understanding, no unity.
Amen.
How can we possibly think that we can win against an enemy that is totally and completely unified? The picture is just becoming more and more clear to me all the time. Jim Kraft just sent me a text message. Jim came yesterday. He said, hey, Coach, all of our kids said that was the best testimony that they'd ever heard, talking about David Arthur yesterday. David was all we talked about during lunch. What a blessing David Arthur is to the body. Amen, David. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Hey, so again, as I'm sitting there, I'm hearing all these people say, amen, under their voices, David's unwrapping this thing. Man, I got 6 minutes left. I don't even know where I went today or where I'm going. Somebody help me. Hey, I just got a text from Gary. Mark Trump has done a great job, folks, putting together a GoFundMe page for our trip down to Florida. I haven't really done anything with it this weekend, Mark, because I've been, you know what I've been through. So we're going to get that thing up and going. We're going to try to raise $6,000. That pays for the equipment to come down. That pays for the housing, pays for the food. Mark's got it going there. And so we have to share this. We have to get this thing out there. Of course, we're going to raise money through Pass the Salt. But all of you, if you could get a hold of this and help us get this out there, then we can get this thing up and running. Anything you want to add there, Mark?
No, Coach. I think we're going to finalize it, get some videos in it maybe. But it's ready to click on, and we can get the link out to folks. But that's it. I mean,
right.
I just threw that together as a placeholder. You can see some of the work we do there. But I think it'll be a blessing if we could, help fund this somehow, have folks who want to give them a way to do it.
We'll get it funded. We'll get it funded. I'm very confident. By the way, Mark, I got your thing on DNA and salvation. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Anybody, jump in here. We got 4 minutes left. Grab it and run. Hey, no, I'll save that for later.
Okay. Well, those of us in the huddle and those that are listening, if you want to fund the Florida thing, use this Pass the Salt.
Yes.
You pass on the GoFundMe thing to others that aren't
committed. Very good point, Larry.
Because that way we don't lose the percentage that GoFundMe collects.
Very good. Very good point. And also, this GoFundMe, this is all more of a secular environment. You know, we'll shoot this out on. I'm still banned on Facebook, so I can't get on Facebook yet. But the rest of you can shoot this thing out there, and we can reach the secular world. See, I'm convinced of this. The secular world wants to help. They want to help. But a lot of them, they're up to their ears with churches and religion and pastors making exorbitant salaries and all that. But they understand, recognize, and need. So, Larry, great point. If you're watching the show, go to CoachDaveLive.com and make that donation. And, again, folks, we're going to try to raise about $6,000. That gets our equipment down there, the food, the housing, the travel, all that stuff. We try to make it for those who come that they don't have to – it doesn't come out of their own pocket. That's what we use the money for. Okay.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach. Yep. I'm sensing this morning there's some men listening to this show, and you may be live or you may listen to it later when it's taped, but you've embraced this message this morning, and you're wanting that intimacy that you can have with other men. And I want you to know that if you'll engage with us, become part of us, that you'll receive that intimacy. You'll make brothers and lifetime friends that I can't even begin to describe, because that's what I was looking for deep down, was a way to be intimate with other men in a way that we could build Jesus's kingdom together. So I just encourage you, step out, get to know us. We don't bite. I guarantee a Coach doesn't bite. He is the same. He's the real deal. When you get around him, he is just like he's just like you see on the show, and if he talks to you one on one, he doesn't yell at you. Okay,
except my wife. I do yell at my wife. Yeah.
But Coach, my heart. I just want men to know, because you can get set free, and part of that's going to be getting intimate with other men, and this is the group to do it in.
Church camp for adults. That's right, baby. Come on in, Vinny. I think it was Vinny. I heard.
No, that's okay.
That was Denny. I thought it was Vinny. No? Nobody? Okay. Hey, folks, listen, man. David Arthur tonight, I'm going to be there. David, going to support you. He's on to something. Intimacy. I was talking to Jim Kraft, who used to coach football, and I was going through this same thing with him. He says, Coach, you know, I said, you know, you're right. You're right. He said, I'll run into a guy who played 20 years ago for us, and we'll get talking about something. And he said, it doesn't take 30 seconds, and there's tears welling up in that guy's eyes, thinking about that great experience that we had together. Intimacy, male intimacy, female intimacy, not the sexual relationship. No, intimacy. No, no, no. into me, see. It's something deeper than we can understand. And the world is trying to destroy that. Jesus said that, Paul said, one of them said, where there's unity, intimacy, God will command the blessing. It's going to be like that Psalm 123. Amen. Go there real quick, Jared. 127. Psalm 127. Real quick. I'm sorry. I'm on overtime. There it is. No, 123. 123. I was right in the first place. Oh, I got it wrong. Didn't I? Yeah, where there's unity, God will command the blessing. I thought it was 123, but it doesn't matter. We'll get there. Jared's looking for it. Won't you think I'm not lying?
133, I think, Coach.
133. It is like the precious ointment. Brethren, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Unity, dwell together. Think about that. Dwell together. Not just come to church together and shake your hand. How you doing, Carl? Did you have a good week, Bill? Dwell together. How pleasant it is. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard, it went down to the skirts of his garment as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, where there's unity, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.